Two Israeli embassy staff have been killed in a shooting in Washington in the USA. The victims, a man and a woman, were shot as they left an event at the Capitol Jewish Museum at 9:05 local time. Police say a suspect is in custody. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, has called the shooting a depraved act of anti-Semitic terrorism. Our Washington correspondent, Sean Wheeling, has been telling me what happened.
The event that was taking place there had been organised by the American Jewish Committee. It was advertised, but it wasn't advertised at that location. The address was only disclosed to people who had registered for it. So it was known only to those who were going there, or supposedly. The event finished around 9:00, at about 9:08, according to a report from the police. A group of four people came out of the building. They were then approached by a man who had been earlier seen pacing up and down outside the building. He produced a handgun, fired at this group of people. Two of them were hit by his rounds. He then tossed away the handgun and walked into the building of this Capitol Jewish Museum and essentially surrendered to the event security staff that were there. He told them where they could find the gun. The gun was recovered. They put handcuffs on him. He said, "You better call the cops." The police arrived very, very swiftly on the scene. And apparently he told the police that he had done it, that he had carried out the shooting in the name of Gaza. And then he started chanting, "Free, free Palestine." That's according to a statement from Pam Smith, the police commissioner of Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police.
And what's known about this person? I understand he came from Chicago.
Yeah, his name is Elias Rodriguez. He's 30 years old. He had travelled in from Chicago, and that's about it that we know for the moment. People are scrambling around to try and find some kind of a motive here. But the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, spoke at this news conference a short time ago.
"There is no active threat in our community. What I do know is that the horrific incident is going to frighten a lot of people in our city and in our country. And I want to be clear that we will not tolerate this violence or hate in our city. We will not tolerate any acts of terrorism, and we're going to stand together as a community in the coming days and weeks to send the clear message that we will not tolerate anti-Semitism."
And that's significant, I think, because here in Washington, ultra-political city, lots of protests, lots of security risks. The authorities here tend to be quite cautious in their communications around events such as this or anything to do with security or political events. They're just cautious in the way they communicate. And for the mayor to come straight out and say this is about anti-Semitism strikes me as significant. We also saw at that news conference Pam Bondi, the United States Attorney General. She had been on the scene quite quickly and joined in. A lot of law enforcement was on the scene as well very, very quickly, because this American Jewish Museum, its location in Northwest DC, it's basically across the road from the FBI field office for Washington, DC, and is around the corner from the headquarters of the Metropolitan Police Force. The Israeli ambassador, Yehiel Leichter, who'd only taken up his appointment a couple of months ago, also spoke there tonight, revealing that information about the young couple. They haven't been named, but this poignant detail about them planning to get engaged next week on a visit to Israel.
"The couple that was gunned down tonight in the name of Free Palestine, it's a young couple about to be engaged. The young man purchased a ring this week with the intention of proposing to his girlfriend next week in Jerusalem. They were a beautiful couple who came to enjoy an evening in Washington's cultural center. I will say this, we are a resilient people. The people of Israel are resilient people, and the people of the United States of America are resilient people. Together we won't be afraid, together we'll stand, and we're going to overcome moral depravity of people who think that they're going to achieve political gains through murder.
He had been handed a phone by Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, when they met. And on the other end of the line was the President, Donald Trump, who had assured him that the federal government will spare no resources in bringing this case to a conclusion, but also more broadly tackling the issue of anti-Semitism in America.
The story of what's happening in Gaza, in the West Bank, the bombardment, the blockade on aid, it's a big domestic story here. Not big enough in some people's eyes. Ireland doing more than many other European countries, but more and more voices across Europe now being raised. So it's a very big story here. Compare and contrast what you know of the coverage here and the way that the campaign in Gaza is being covered in the US media and in US politics.
Well, it is being covered here, and the reportage from political correspondents who are close to the government here have been suggesting over the last couple of weeks that President Trump is distancing himself more and more from Benjamin Netanyahu. The two had always been seen as quite close, indeed very close. But the US government making it known that it's not happy about what's going on in Gaza. They're not obviously not prepared to break with Israel. They're not talking about that. But behind the scenes, we're starting to hear some of the language that the Biden administration was communicating out, that they're trying to exercise as much restraint as they can over the Israelis, but are getting more and more frustrated that things that are being suggested by the US government are not being listened to by the Netanyahu government in Israel. So it is a contentious issue, even in America, which is undoubtedly Israel's number one backer and supporter on so many levels. There is an awful lot of popular support in America for Israel. But that support is starting to fray. It's not anything like it is in Ireland with the amount of distaste and hostility indeed towards Israel and the mutual antagonism that's there at government level as well. But there is a backing away from Israel that is starting to be quite noticeable now, I think, at a government level. Also in the wider population, a distaste for the continuing death toll, the day after day. And, I mean, the war is being reported here on American television. Obviously, American news takes precedence over everything else that you see, but it would be wrong to say that it's not being covered here. It is being covered here, and it's a source of division amongst people. It's a source of division within the American Jewish community, and we've also seen protests on the streets that are very passionate, sometimes very intemperate against Israel. A lot of pro-Palestinian sentiment, noisy sentiment. We saw those college protests last year and some of the outworkings of that now, with some of the people who were involved in those protests being detained by the Trump administration and threatened with deportation. Nevertheless, for something like this to happen, it is very shocking. Even in a country that has a much higher murder rate than Ireland, has a much higher level of crime and gun violence generally. But for political violence like this to break out on the streets of the capital city in what is generally a pretty quiet, pretty secure area because of all those high value government buildings that are around it, that is very, very unusual and is, I think, going to send shockwaves through the city and through the wider country.
And that was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, on the shooting of those two Israeli embassy staff. It's almost 22 minutes past seven.